Our first reading today comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the God settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Microphone is working? Yes, all right then. Before we hear the gospel reading, I'd like to pause and notice a few things from our Hebrew scripture, because the gospel isn't going to make any sense without them. God has just brought the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt with Moses as their leader. In Exodus chapter 19, they reach Mount Sinai, where the people are consecrated, but only Moses gets to go up on the mountain and be with God. In chapters 20 through 23, God speaks the entire law to Moses, starting with the Ten Commandments. Now, these are mostly laws about people and property. They're laws about how people are supposed to treat each other. And then Moses comes down and tells the people what God has said, and they respond by promising to obey, and then they make a covenant with God. This covenant is sealed with the blood of animal sacrifices. Then God calls Moses to come back up the mountain and receive the stone tablets, which is the reading we just heard. How does God appear in that reading? God appears in two ways in that reading. You remember? It says, "The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it for 6 days." On the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the cloud, and now the appearance of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. So, here are a couple of things we need to know for the gospel reading. God appears as a cloud and as bright shining fire. Moses represents two things. He represents liberation and the law. And one more thing we're going to need to know. Who is Elijah? Who's Elijah? He is a great prophet, that is right, who lived 400 years after Moses during the 9th century BCE and defended the true worship of Yahweh from the pagan worship of the Baals. Elijah meets God on this same mountain, and the same mountain where Moses has been, where he experiences God not in wind or earthquake or fire, but as the sound of sheer silence, a still, small voice. At the end of his story, Elijah doesn't die. He is taken up into heaven in a whirlwind and a fiery chariot and horses of flame, and he just vanishes. And so people, ever after that, people keep looking for him to reappear because he never really died. We're going to see him again today, turns out. Now, on to the gospel reading. Jesus has begun his ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing. He calls disciples, and huge crowds begin to follow him everywhere hanging on his every word, hoping he will heal them and help them. This is very annoying to the authorities. Jesus walks on water, tells and explains parables, crosses over to the land of the Gentiles and into their territory for a while, and when he comes back, he cures and feeds thousands of people and annoys and insults the authorities even more. Jesus asks his disciples who people say that he is. And then he asks who they say he is. Peter gets the answer right. You are the Messiah. Say that. You are the Messiah. Jesus tells them what that means. That the Messiah is going to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed and suffer and die on a cross and on the third day rise again. Peter, who was so smart just a minute ago, tells Jesus that he must be wrong about all that. And Jesus says that kind of talk comes from Satan. We don't hear about anything else that happens until 6 days later when we have today's reading. 6 days, like the amount of time that Moses had to wait on top of the mountain before God called him to come receive the tablets up into the cloud to meet God. Would you please rise as you are able for a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud came and overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. A little while ago, we asked the kids, where does light come from? Where does light come from? Sun, moon, light bulbs, and Jesus. The question I want us to ponder together for a little while is, what does light do? Light makes things grow, which makes life possible. Life on Earth as we know it depends on light. No plants can survive forever without light. I mean, obviously they can get through the night, but no plants survive forever without light. Plants, of course, make their own food using chlorophyll through photosynthesis, which requires light. Some plants, like mushrooms, it might seem that they don't need light, but they grow by digesting dead plants that grew using light. Others, like broom rape, have no chlorophyll but attach themselves parasitically to plants that do have chlorophyll that make food using light. So plants depend on light. And then animals eat plants, and some animals eat other animals, and then humans eat animals and plants, and life is sustained on Earth. Now, technically, there are some bacteria deep in the ocean where no light ever reaches that make their food using heat energy from the Earth's core instead of using light. And there are giant tube worms that eat those bacteria. So, I mean, there are some kinds of life that can survive. But let's just say that pretty definitively, humans need light to survive because we are not tube worms. Now, what else does light do? Light keeps us warm, which also makes life possible. The same sun that provides light to make food for us also provides just the right amount of heat for us, keeping the temperature of the earth in a range in which we can survive, as long as we don't mess up the climate and overheat everything. What else does light do? Makes it possible for us to see, right? We literally can see nothing without light because our eyes only work when light hits our retinas. Now, last week, after a long and gloomy week, the sun came out last Saturday, 8 days ago, and I walked into my living room where the sunshine was pouring in, and I was horrified. I thought my living room was clean. But suddenly, every grain of dust had a shadow. And the bunnies under the dust bunnies under the couch, they looked like monsters. I had seen, and I could not unsee. And because of what I had seen, I had work to do. Now, something else that light does, it literally makes us happy. There's a thing called seasonal affective disorder. You've probably heard of it. The acronym makes the word SAD, which is what it does to us. Seasonal affective disorder, SAD, is a type of depression caused by changes in the seasons and the associated changes in the amount and type of light we get. It's real. SAD causes loss of interest in enjoyable things, causes low energy and weight gain and trouble sleeping and trouble concentrating. One of the most effective treatments for it, I mean, they try drugs, but really the most effective treatment for it is the thing that's missing, light. Getting outside into sunlight when it's possible, or a sunlight spectrum lamp. SAD seems to affect most people, at least a little bit. And then when the days start to get longer and the sun is out, we cheer up. We have more energy. That might also be why I cleaned my living room so well last Saturday. With the sunlight coming in, I could see what I was doing, and I also finally had the energy to dust the bookcases. So, these are the things that light does for us. It makes things grow, which makes life possible. Keeps us warm, makes it possible for us to see. And we are so attuned to this light that being without it makes us sad, and its return makes us happy. So let's take those facts about sunlight and apply them to the light of God's glory as revealed in Jesus Christ up on the mountain. It seems to me that the light of God's glory works in the same way on our spirits as sunlight does on our physical being. The light of God's glory makes our very lives possible. It warms us. It gives our spirits the power to grow. And when we are no longer growing and changing, we die. As Christians, we claim that God is the source of our lives, that God, the love of God, underpins our very existence, whether we remember that all the time or not. Something else the light of God's glory does makes it possible for us to see. And once we see, we cannot unsee. I wonder what my life looks like when Jesus turns my way and the light from his face shines across my life. I might have some spring cleaning to do in my spirit. Now, the light of God's glory also fills us with joy. Even as we are convicted and convinced of changes we need to make and some messes we might need to clean up, this light gives us the power and energy and joy to do these things. We are so attuned to this light of God's glory, that being without it makes us sad, and its return makes us happy. It gives us the energy to do the work that the light reveals. But hang on. Like Peter, we might want to jump up and do something right away, right now, just do anything to be doing something. And what happens when Peter suggests building little houses on top of the mountain for Jesus and Moses and Elijah? What happens? God shows right up and tells him to stop, to look, to listen, to just experience the wonder of the presence of God, to experience his own longing for that presence. Jesus comes to the awestruck disciples lying there on the ground and tells them they don't need to be afraid, but they are not supposed to do anything yet. Jesus tells them not to even talk about what they have seen for now. Now is the time for pondering and wondering and listening. When Jesus turns toward us and the light of God's glory shines into our lives, we may well realize that we have some spring cleaning to do. And good news, starting Wednesday, here comes Lent, with all its opportunities for reflection and correction. But today, let's just let the light of Jesus shine into our lives. Let's experience the awe and wonder and longing and joy of God's glory revealed to us. In a few minutes, we're going to sing a hymn written by Charles Wesley in 1740. This hymn about the Transfiguration actually says all the things I've just said, but in 18 lines of poetry. Before we sing it, I would like us to pause and pay attention to it. If you'd like, I invite you to just close your eyes and listen. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Dayspring from on high, be near, Day star in my life appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see, till they inward light impart, cheer my eyes and warm my heart. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief, fill me, radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief. More and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day. May this be our prayer. Amen.